And we're holding on Tzedek Tes Amud Beis by the Mishnah. We talked in the previous Mishnayos about an almana taking property that was supposed to go to the Yorshim and selling it in order to raise money for Huksuba. Or we also talked about in some cases where she might be doing that for mezonos, for food, which she's also entitled to as long as she's still living as an almana, not remarried and not collected Huksuba. So previously we talked about what happens if the almana herself misvalues the property and sells it for a higher or a lower price than it was supposed to be. Now let's talk about the base thing. The Mishnah says, Shum ha-dayonim, when the dayonim evaluate property and assess the value of it, if they undervalue it by 1/6, or they overvalue it by 1/6, Michran batel, then their sale is invalid. Now, the usual rules of Aynah, we're going to discuss in the Gemara, and we touched on the other day, that the usual rules of Aynah don't necessarily apply to land. For one thing, because when the Torah presents the dinim of Aynah, it presents it in connection with metalpilin. Nevertheless, though, when you have the concept of Aynah, the usual rule is if the overcharge or the underpayment is less than 1/6 of the value, then we say people are usually moichel on that, and then the sale is valid and nothing needs to be reimbursed. If the einah is exactly 1/6, then the usual rule is kono machzor einah. The acquisition is valid, but you have to reimburse the other. You have to reimburse the other person the overcharge, or if you bought it at a price below what it was supposed to be, then you have to pay them the extra. And if it's above 1/6, then the sale is bottled. So here we're saying when the dayanim assessed the property and sold it to raise money for the almana, then if they make a mistake of 1/6 in either direction, then we wouldn't do the usual thing of Aynah, which would be kono machzor Aynah, that the acquisition is valid, but we have to reimburse them. But rather we would say michran batel, the sale is completely batel. Which, by the way, Rishonim bring up an interesting point. Rishonim bring up an interesting point. It's one thing if they undervalued it, so now the Yesomim have been defrauded, because now, for example, so there was a piece of property that was supposed to be sold to raise 200 zuz for Huksuba, let's say, and then this property objectively would have been worth 200, and they sold it instead at a price one sixth difference. So they sold it for 167 or whatever the figure would be exactly, 133. 167. So then we can understand that the Yesomim have been wronged, and we want to undo it. Why do we want to undo it if they sold it at a value above the price that it was supposed to be? On the face of it, the Yesomim benefit. And Rishonim give a variety of different reasons why we don't say that. One of them is, in fact, one explanation from Tamidu Rabbeinu Yonah, is in fact that the Beis Din is supposed to be acting as a shliach, not just on behalf of the Yesomim, but also on behalf of the other person. After all, you're not supposed to show favoritism in judgment, so they can't show favoritism to the Yesomim by selling the property at too high a value either, even though that benefits them. So therefore, we would also say that the sale is bottle. And various other Rishonim give different ideas around it. One of them being that once the dayanim have given a value, then the person himself who buys it is not going to go bother doing his own independent evaluation. He's relying on them. So therefore, they've directly caused him a loss by having him buy it for a value more than it was supposed to be. Or another way of looking at it, some of the Rishonim say, is if you did that, if you were to say that whatever they bought it for, as long as it benefits the Yesomim, then it's valid, then nobody would ever want to buy property that Beis Din is arranging the sale of, because they would say, what happens now if Beis Din made a mistake and then I don't have any recourse. So for all those various reasons, we say even though it did benefit the Yesomim, the fact that it was sold at a price higher than it should be, nevertheless, Michran bought it. By the way, the Rishonim also discuss the question, now how would we know that the Beis Din made a mistake? So in fact, one explanation is that maybe the Beis Din themselves would have to later on realize their mistake and own up to it, as opposed to if a different Beis Din said that we evaluate it differently. Okay, so what? So each Beis Din has their own idea of things. Not necessarily would that be considered a mistake then. Whereas that's one way of looking at it. And another way of looking at it is that, no, we would go based on, it wouldn't matter whether the Beis Din themselves change their mind or not. Just the fact that we ask other experts and they say differently would be reason enough to consider it a mistake. Anyway, it continues the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel and Michran Kayim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the sale remains valid, even if they undervalued or overvalued by a sixth or more. Because he says, in Kain, Makoyach Beis Din Yofa, otherwise, how would Beis Din's power be any stronger? Meaning, we want to give credence as much as possible to what Beis Din is doing, and therefore, even if they undervalued or overvalued, we shouldn't consider it a mistake where we would undo it. Instead, we should let things stand as they are. We'll see on Kof Amud Beis, how far would Rav Shimon Gamliel go with this principle? And in fact, the Ritva explains that even the Chachamim do agree to it to a limited extent, which is why they say Michran Batel rather in the first part of the Mishnah, rather than saying that the sale stands and they have to reimburse the difference, because they agree. They would say Makoyach Beis Din Yafa. We do want to give Beis Din a stronger power than the average person. Continues the Mishnah. Aval im osui geres bikodes benehen. But if they had made an igeres bikodes between them, which means where they had actually made the public auction that we talked about the other day, and we're going to talk about further in the Gemara today, that normally when you're selling property of Yisomim, you're supposed to make a public auction so that people will bid up the price, and that'll benefit the Yisomim. So like this, if they made an igeres, literally means a letter, so it means in other words a document of bikodes, of checking it out, because people check it out when an auction is going on, then people go and check out the property. So if they did that, then that's different, because then people looked it over and decided they're willing to pay this price for it. So then afilu mocher shava mona b'masayim or shava masayim b'mona, then even if they sold a piece of property that was supposed to be worth 100 and they sold it for 200, or a property that was supposed to be 200 and they sold it for 100, michran kayim, then the sale would still be valid, because again, since there was bikodes, since there was a public auction and a public announcement of it, then therefore people, not necessarily an auction really, an hachraza as an announcement, but whatever, that there was an announcement and everybody came and looked it over and decided they're willing to pay this price for it. So now we can't say anymore that Beis Din made a mistake. Obviously there's somebody who considered it worth that price and was willing to pay that price for it. So the Gemara starts on, Iboyel hu shliach kemat. The question now becomes, so we're saying, now we said in the previous Mishnah, we said that if the almana herself sells the property and she misvalues it by even a tiny amount, then it's no good. So we said, for example, that if her ksuba was 100 or the balance of her ksuba was 100 and she sold property that was supposed to be worth 101 for the 100, then we said that the sale is bottled. Here, on the other hand, in our Mishnah, we're saying that the Dayanim have leeway up to 1/6. So Shliach Kemah, what about if a Shliach makes this mistake? Do we consider the Shliach to be more like the Amona, or do we consider him to be more like a Beis Din? Now Rashi doesn't specify which Shliach we're talking about. Tosfos understands Rashi to mean any kind of Shliach. So regardless who it is that sent that Shliach. Tosfos is bothered by, though, we learned in the Gemara yesterday, that when a shliach makes a mistake, you can tell him, "Zakuni shtar tichav lo la'avsi, I sent you in order to fix things up for me, not to mess things up for me." So therefore, why all of a sudden are we thinking that the shliach should have more leeway? So Tosfos discusses some possibilities about the distinction, but then Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that here we're not talking about any old shliach, here we're talking about the shliach of the Dayanim. So the question would be, is the shliach of the Dayanim like the Dayanim themselves or not, for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss? And Tosfos goes on to discuss this a little bit, maybe what we're asking about, whether who the shliach is like, we're not talking about as far as what the leeway is, we're talking about whether the overcharge or underpayment has to be reimbursed. we were saying in the case of the Beis Din, up to when they made a mistake, even as much as 1/6, then that doesn't need to be reimbursed. Maybe by a shliach is different. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar Rav Nachman, shliach dayonin. So Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, the shliach would have the din like the dayonin. So if he makes a mistake, as long as the mistake is 1/6 or less, according to the Tanakhama, or even if it's greater than that, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, then the sale would still stand. Rav Shmuel Babisna, Amar Rav Nachman, Kalmona. On the other hand, Rav Shmuel Babisna says also in the name of Rav Nachman that the shliach would be like the Almona. Now, what's the underlying logic behind the two opinions? Rava Amar Rav Nachman Shliach Dayonin. Rava says that Rav Nachman is saying that the Shliach is like the Dayonin, because we can compare the Shliach to the Dayonin. Ma Dayonin Lav Lidhu. When the Dayonim sell property, they're not selling it for themselves. They're selling it on behalf of the Almana. Af Shliach Nami Lav Lidhu. Then the Shliach also is not selling for himself. Regardless, whether we take Rashi's chap that we're talking about any kind of shliach, or one possibility in Tosfos that we're talking about based in shliach, either way, they're not selling for themselves, they're selling on behalf of the almona. As opposed to when it comes to the almona who's selling for herself, so maybe therefore, so Tosfos Rid says in that case, then we want to hold her, we want to hold her to the exact amounts. We want to penalize her and be mevatel her sale if she sold it for any even the slightest amount more than it was supposed to be. Even if she sold it for 101 when it was supposed to be sold for 100, or vice versa. Because there she's selling for herself, as opposed to the shliach and the dayanim are selling on behalf of somebody else, so we should give them greater leeway. Rav Shmuel Babisna, Amar Rav Nachman Kalmana. On the other hand, Rav Shmuel Babisna says, and also in the name of Rav Nachman, that no, the shliach would be like the almana, because we would say, ma almana yechida af shliach yochid. Because we can look at it, that just like the almana is one individual person, just like the Amona is one individual person, so is the Shliach one individual person. La Puki based in the Rabbim Ninhu, as opposed to a based in which consists of three or more Dayanim, which Tosfos points out. Now, we've said several times in this parak, but based on a Gemara in Bava Metzia, that when the Amona sells, even if she's not selling in based in, she still needs at least Shloisha Hedyotis. She needs three people who are not Tamar Chachamim, but at least know the value of the land. Still, though, Tosfos says, for our purposes, we would consider them like a yochid. Only a Beis Din is only an actually duly constituted Beis Din would be considered like a rabbi. So therefore, that's why Rav Shmuel Babisna says that we would consider the shliach also like a yochid. And the Gemara says, v'hilchsa shliach ka'almana, the bottom line halacha is like Rav's, the bottom line halacha is like Rav Shmuel Babisna's version, that the shliach is like the almana. So therefore, we don't grant him any leeway in mistakes at all. We say, like we said yesterday, we sent you as a shliach in order to fix things up, not in order to mess things up. And if you sold the property at a higher or lower value than it was supposed to be, then it means that you messed up, and therefore your shlichus is void. So the Gemara asks, to Maishno Mehodetran. Well, in that case, if we're going to say that, why is that any different than a case that we learn in a Mishnah, which we learned this yesterday in the Gemara as well? If a person tells a shliach, go give truma from my produce. Now, a person can't just go on his own and take truma from somebody else's produce. That wouldn't be valid. But one person can send another one as a shliach to take truma for him. And in fact, from those psukim that talk about that is where we learn many basic concepts of shlichus. So he tells him, Tseyotroim, turn him, Kadas Balabais. Then now we talked about yesterday that there are three different amounts that a person would give for Truma. Midar Raisa, you can give any amount. Chita Achas Peteras Sakri, you give one grain of wheat and it patters the whole stack of grain. However, Midrabanan, there are amounts that are established. The minimum is 1/60th. An average, a stingy person would give 1/60th, an average person gives 1/50th, and a generous person gives 1/40th. Tosfos on the previous Amud brings from Yerushalmi that learns from a Pasuk in Yechezkel that learns hints about this, but the whole thing is Derabanan. So therefore we can learn it from a Pasuk in Yechezkel. Tosfos actually says that it's really only that smachter, but anyway, the point is that So now, so when he tells him to take truma, how much should he be taking? Well, Torim, Kadas Balabayas, what he should do is he should take truma according to the amount that he knows the Balabayas would give. If he knows that this Balabayas is usually a generous person, then he should give 1/40. If he knows he's an average person, 1/50, and so forth. And the Mishnah continues, Vim any a day a daitish of Balabayas, what if he doesn't know how much the Balabayas usually gives? Then Torim Bebeinus, Echad Mechamishim, then he should give the average amount, which is 1/50. And continues the Mishnah, Piches Asara, if he reduced it by 10, or he increased it by 10, which we learned on the previous Amud, that Rashi had said that piches asara would mean that instead of 1/50, he gave 1/40. Now, 1/40, of course, is a larger fraction than 1/50, but piches asara, we mean that the denominator of the fraction, instead of 50, is 40, which, of course, though, it comes out more, so we don't mean piches in the amount of truma. We mean piches in the type of fraction that we're talking about. And hoisif would mean the other way around, where he went to 1/60. Tosfos in other places in Shas talks about the other way around, that piches asara can mean that he gave 1/60, which is a smaller amount. Hoisif asara would be that he gave 1/40. Whatever the case, the Mishnah says, truma se truma, then his truma is valid. So we see that even though the shliach has made a mistake, So nevertheless, we say that what he did is valid. So why should it be any different in our case over here that we're saying if the shliach made any amount of mistake in valuing the karka and selling the karka, then we would tell him no good? The difference is the Gemara answers hasam kiven de ikka de totem ba'ayin ra the ikka de totem ba'ayin yofa, because there it's different. The very fact that there are some people who give in a stingy way, and there are people who give in a generous way. Therefore, the shliach has every right to say, "Lahochi amanticha, I evaluated that you're this kind of person, so I evaluated you to be a generous person, and therefore I gave 1/40. I didn't realize that not, but nevertheless, that can't be considered a blatant mistake. Because after all, there are people who give that way. Avalhocha, but over here, when we're talking about misvaluing the property, ta'usahu, after all, what he made is a blatant mistake. So therefore, omale, so now the mishaleach can tell him, lo yiboy loch, or for that matter, the buyer can tell him, lo yiboy loch lemiti, you shouldn't have made a mistake. And therefore, we can say that the shliach is like the almana, and any mistake is not tolerable, and we undo it. Now, let's go back to our Mishnah then. We have in our Mishnah, we had the Machlokas then. We had now, so that takes care of the matter of the Shliach. Now, as far as the Dayonim themselves, we had the Machlokas in the Mishnah, where the Tanakhama had said that we can tolerate a mistake of theirs below 1/6, but once the mistake is 1/6, then Michron Bottle. And Rav Shimon Gamliel had said, no, Michron Kayim, that their sale is still valid. So who is the halacha like? Amar Rav Huna b'Chanina, Amar Rav Nachman, halacha k'divrei chachamim. The halacha is like the chachamim, that if they undervalued or overvalued by 1/6 or more, then the sale is bought. Which Tosfos discusses, it's not so simple actually, because there are other gemaras that say that that when it comes to karka, then we don't say that there is a we don't we then we said that I then we say that I know doesn't necessarily apply. But in our Gemara over here, we're saying the halacha is like a chachamim. So then so if they make a mistake by 1/6 or by 1/6 or more, then the sale is bought. So the Gemara asks, "V'lesle Rav Nachman makoyach based in Yafa." You're telling me that Rav Nachman does not hold of the concept that Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah, "Makoyach based in Yafa." Don't we want to make Beistin's power stronger? How can we make that their power should just be equivalent to that of a yachid? Where if a yachid sells, now we said, okay, the Amono or Shliach, if they sell, we don't allow them any leeway at all. But ordinarily, within the rules of Einah, we say that if the difference is 1/6 or more, then we say if the difference is more than 1/6, rather, then we say mekach. Then we say bitul mekach. The person can undo the sale. And here in the Mishnah of Shimon Gamliel was saying, if you apply, it wouldn't be exactly the same, because in the case of in the regular case of Einah, that din of bitul mekach is only if the mistake is more than 1/6. Here we're saying the Tanakhama was saying we're mevatel the mekach if it's exactly 1/6. And Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, "Ma koyach based in Yofa." Shouldn't the power based in be stronger? So if Rav Nachman is saying the halacha is like the chachamim, does that mean he doesn't hold of this concept of makoyach based in yofa? V'ha'omer Rav Nachman, omer Shmuel. Don't we see, on the other hand, that Rav Nachman, now, Tosfos says, when we talked before about a shliach, even we said before that it might be a shliach of the dayanim, but still, a shliach of Beis Din isn't. We're going to talk now about an apotropos for Yisaimim. We would say an apotropos who is given greater leeway in what he can do for the Yisaimim, he would be considered tantamount to the Beis Din himself, whereas a shliach of Beis Din maybe not so much. But we see Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, Yisaimim shabo lachlik v'nichse abihen. If Yisomim are coming to divide their father's property, based in Ma'amid and Lahan Apotropos, then what based in does is they set up an Apotropos. Rashi explains, we're talking about whether Yisomim are Ketanim. There is actually the Rashba, I think, explains that if they're all Ketanim, then we wouldn't bother with this. But what we're talking about, where some of them are Gdolim and some of them are Ketanim, and we don't want the Gdolim to take advantage of the Ketanim. In any case, what we do is we appoint an individual Apotropos, an individual trustee for each one of the Ketanim. And each of these apotropsin picks on behalf of the yosim who's under their care, picks a nice portion for them. So in other words, they work it out among themselves, which one is there, where they, each one of them is supposed to be looking out for the best interests of the yosim that he's responsible for. So therefore they work out among themselves, which are the best properties. Tosfos discusses over here that maybe why don't we say a goyrol, and Tosfos discusses no, you don't do a goyrol necessarily. What you do is you actually have, or Tosfos discusses that maybe burden would mean with a goyrol, and Tosfos discusses back and forth whether that would be the case, whether it's a goyrol, whether it's an objective valuation. Whatever the case, Higdilu, continues Reb Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, Higdilu, once the Yisomim get older, if they don't like what their apotropos did, Yecholim Limchos, then they can protest and say, you know what, I was a cotton, the apotropos did it on my behalf, but he didn't do what I would have liked, and therefore I want to undo that division and redivide. But Reb Nachman Yideyamon, and that's Reb Nachman saying in the name of Shmuel that, then Reb Nachman himself disagrees with Shmuel, and he says, Higdilu ein yecholim limchos. He says, once they get older, they can't be moicha. Imkein makoyach Beis Din yofa. Because he says, otherwise, how would Beis Din's power be any stronger? The very fact that Beis Din appointed these apotropsin and gave them the power to find the appropriate nechosim on behalf of their charge, means that we should allow what they said to stand in order that the power of Beis Din should be stronger. So we see Reb Nachman does hold of that concept. So what are you telling me that therefore that he says in our Mishnah the halacha would be like the chachamim rather than Reb Shimon Gamliel? The answer is, the Gemara answers, like Kasha, hold the toe, hold the toe. The answer is there's a difference whether Beis Din or their apotropos made a mistake or not. In our Mishnah, Beis Din made a mistake. They undervalued or overvalued the property. In the case of the apotropsin, they didn't make a mistake. Well, the question is, if the apotropsin didn't make a mistake, then what are the yisomim protesting about? What's there to protest about? They found them a fair share. They got them a fair share of the nechassim. The answer is beruchos. You could still say that the yosim can argue when he gets older, I didn't want it on this side. For example, he says, let's say, Rashi says, so we had our father's field that was divided up among us, Yisraelim. It turns out actually that I have a field on one side over there which I yashin from my mother's father. You can have, conceivably, this particular Yosim has a different mother than the other ones. And she yashin from her father. So I have a field on that side, and therefore I would have rather that I get my field on that side, so the two fields would be contiguous. And we tell him, and so Shmuel says, fine, he can protest about that and undo that. And Reb Nachman is saying, no, makoyach beis din yofa. So there was no actual mistake over here. There was just the apotropos didn't know that eventually this property is going to fall into the hands of this yosim, is going to be inherited by this yosim, such that there would be an advantage to him in having his property on that side. So therefore, that can't be considered a toast per se. And therefore, Reb Nachman would say makoyach beis din yofa. But where Beis Din actually made an objective mistake, like an Or Mishnah, then he would say we don't say that, and then the halacha is like a. So the Gemara continues. Ki Osir Abdimi Omar, when Abdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported Maisav Osir Rebbe Kedivre Chachamim. It happened once that Rebbe, in a case like an Or Mishnah, where the Dayanim had evaluated a property for the Almana, and it turned out they made a mistake. So Rebbe Paskin like the Chachamim. And said that as long as the mistake was 1/6 or more than Michron Batel, Omalafan of Parta, Bnoshur of Elazar ben Parta, Ben Bnoshur of Parta Agadol. However, Parta, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, we find Rabbi Elazar ben Parta here and there occasionally in Shas. In particular, we have a story in Masechta Avodah Zarah where he and Rabbi Hananah ben Tradyan were arrested at the same time. Rabbi Elazar ben Parta was arrested on 5 different charges, but Hashem helped and he beat all of them. Rabbi Hananah ben Tradyan was arrested just on the one charge of teaching Torah, and he was killed as one of the Asura Arugim Malchus. Anyway, so now Parta, his son, Ben Bnoshar of Parta HaGadol, where this Parta is the grandson of Rabbi Parta HaGadol, meaning Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, his father, Parta, was known as Rabbi Parta HaGadol. So now we're quoting his grandson, who had the same name, Parta, who said to Rebbe, he said, "Im kein ma koyach based in Yafa. If you're going to pass him like the Chachamim, then where's the koyach based in Yafa? Shouldn't you pass him instead like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel?" And the Hechzer Rebbe as a Maisa. And in fact, Rebbe undid the Maisa. He realized that, you know what, that does make sense, the fact of in Ken Makoyach based in Yofa. And therefore, he undid the Psak Din and said that the sale still stands, even though based in made a mistake. The Gemara says, Rav Dimi Masni Hofi. Rav Dimi had learned that the story went like that. Rav Safra Masni Hofi. On the other hand, Rav Safra learned that the story was different. He said, "Maisa ubikish Rebbe lasses kedivre chachamim." Not that Rebbe actually passed him like the chachamim. Rebbe was going to pass him like the chachamim. Omelafon of Parta bnoi shor Rabbi Elazar ben Parta ben bnoi shor Parta agadol, and Parta the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, where this Parta was the grandson of Rabbi Parta agadol, said in kein makoyach beis nyafa. Rebbe, if you do end up passing like the chachamim, he hadn't actually passed him yet. But if you do, then makoyach beis nyafa. What happened to that svara? And Reb Safra's version is Loy Osir Rebbe as a Maisa, and sure enough, Rebbe did not end up following the Chacham. So in Reb Dimi's version, Rebbe had actually passed in one way and then retracted his psak and passed in a different way. And in Reb Safra's version, Rebbe had never passed in it yet at all. He was just considering passing in that way. So the Gemara asked Lema B'Hakam Ifri. Well, does that mean that Rav Dimi and Rav Safra are arguing on the following point? Mar Sover Torbid by Mishnah Choizer. One of them would hold that if a dayan makes a mistake on a Dvar Mishnah, then that psak would be undone. A Dvar Mishnah would be, for example, we have over here something where it says black letter in the Mishnah. Now, to be sure, our Mishnah has a machlokas, but nevertheless, we do. First of all, we have Rab Shimon Gamliel's svara is a very logical one, makoyach based in Yofa. Even though we said Rab Nachman doesn't like that svara, where it involves making a mistake. Nevertheless, it is a valid svara to say that it applies even in that case. Besides which, there is a rule that Rab Yochanan says in a few places in Shas, that in every place in Mishnayos, with the exception of 3 places, where Rab Shimon Gamliel says something, then the halacha is like him. So either of those would be reason to consider Rebbe wanting to follow the Chachamim Atoya B'dvar Mishnah, making a mistake regarding something that it says in a Mishnah. So does that mean Mar Sav Atoya B'dvar Mishnah Choizer? So Rav Dimi would hold that if it goes against an explicit Mishnah, then you would still undo the Psak Din. Or Mar Sav Einich Choizer, where Rav Safra would hold that you wouldn't. Once the Psak has been done, then that's that. It remains that way. Rashi goes on to explain, by the way, you do have cases where the psak din stands, but the dayan himself has to reimburse the party that he wronged with his wrong psak din. That would be a case where it's b'shikul hadas, as the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin, let's say you have a machloikas, the halacha has not been determined like one opinion or the other, and the dayan himself has to evaluate which one seems more logical, and he ends up, so most dayanim, let's say most rabbanim at that time, paskin like one opinion, and he finds a different opinion more compelling logically, then that would be considered Torah b'shikol hadas. But over here, again, Rashi says, even though we do have a machlokas in our Mishnah, the fact is Rav Shimon gave a reason for what he said. So therefore, that would be one reason for Rebbe to follow him after all. So is it that Rav Dimi is saying, even though Rebbe paskin like a chachamim, he would actually undo the psak din and instead and take the field back from whoever bought it? Or rather, we said according to the Chacham, Mechon Batel. So we said, so according to the Chachamim, in other words, since it was undervalued by 1/6, we would say, yeah, the Chachamim would say then that we actually, so first he was going to say, in Rav Dimi's version, he actually passed in that the field does not, that the Mechach has to be bottle. So the buyer has to give back the field and get reimbursed his money. And then now we're saying that he actually changed that and said, you know what, let's give the field back to the Lekeach. And the Yisomim will, and the Yisomim, or the Almana rather, will return him his money. So is it that Rav Dimi holds we would do that, and Rav Safra holds that by Torah B'dvar Mishnah, we don't do that. We just let the Psak Din stand B'di'ebed. And the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Both of them might agree that if you made a mistake in a matter of Mishnah, then you do retract it. It's just the argument between Rav Dimi and Rav Safra is not on the actual practical halacha that comes out of it. Just they're arguing how the story took place. Did Rebbe actually paskin a certain way, or was he intending to paskin a certain way? So we have two different ways of looking at it: whether the halacha should be like the chachamim, or whether the halacha should be like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, continuing on, Amar Rabbi Yosef, our Malta Dizvina. Well, we learned this the other day as well. When the almana sells property, achrayus ayasim, then the achrayus is on the yisoim. Meaning, we know that when property is sold, there's usually achrayus involved. You usually have a clause in there that says that if the property gets taken away from you because of a debt I owe, or because the field was stolen, or something like that, then I will reimburse you. So now the achrayus, when she sells, is on the yisoimim, meaning if that property ends up being taken away from the lekeach for a different debt, then after all, she's serving as a shliach of the yisoimim. Therefore, the achrayus is on them, and they're the ones who would have to reimburse the lekeach. Similarly, you're based in Dizamin, achrayus ayasmi. Similarly, when based in sells a field of yisoimim, then the same thing, the achrayus is on the yisoimim. Where they're selling it, for example, to raise money for food for the almana or for her daughters, then also the achrayus is on the yisoim. So the Gemara says, pshita, isn't that obvious? Yes, the almana or the beis din are acting as shluchim of the yisoimim. Of course, why would we think the achrayus should be on them? And the answer is, the Gemara says, you're right. Almana lo yitzruchalei. Rabbi Yosef did not really need to tell us about the almana because, yes, it's true that's pretty obvious. Ki itzrich le beit dina. Rabbi Yosef's chiddush is in the case of the beis din. That we should know the beis din also the achrayus is on the yisoim. Why is that a chiddush? Maudekema. Without Rabbi Yosef telling us, you would have thought kol de zabin mi beit dina adaitad lemeipak le kolahu de zabin. When a person buys from beis din, he has in mind that there is a coil about it. It's well known to everybody that it's being sold. After all, we said in the Mishnah that usually they, and we're going to discuss further down on the Amud, that usually they sell b'achroza, that usually they make a public announcement and a public auction of it. So the lekeach is likely to think to himself that if there was anybody protesting that, anybody who has a shibud on this field, or anybody who claims that this field was stolen or whatever, then wouldn't they be doing that sometime during the time when the achroza is going to take place? So therefore, he would be buying shaloi b'achrayus. He would be saying, he would be figuring that he's buying shaloi b'achrayus, and he would figure therefore that there's no, it's not a question, the achrayus would be on the beis din. He would just think there's no achrayus at all in this case, because there's no need for achrayus, he would think, because he would think there's no need for achrayus because Beistin is selling it at public auction, and therefore anybody finds out about it. And if there were asikin, if there was anybody protesting against it, then we wouldn't need achrayus. So kamash malon. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef is telling us not so. Nevertheless, there still does need to be achrayus, and the achrayus is on the yisoimim because Beistin is selling it in their name. In fact, the Maharshal points out that usually if a shtar is missing achrayus, we usually say achrayus to soper. Just because the achrayus is not written in the document doesn't mean anything. We usually say that nevertheless the achrayus is still in effect, and it just where they forgot to write it in the shtar. But here we're talking about that. Here though the point is that Maharshal understands Rashi to be saying that he would think, even that's in this case, achrayus wasn't written in a shtar, and it actually shouldn't need to be in effect because it was sold by Beis Din, and kamash malon, nevertheless, was saying achrayus is still in effect, just like it would usually be. If they wrote explicitly in the shtar that there's no achrayus, then that's different, but we're not talking about that. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Mechulah, Rav Shimon Gamliel had said that even if the Dayanim make a mistake by 1/6 or more, then the sale still stands because Ma Koyach based in Yafa. So Va'ad Kama, how far do we go? How far does Rav Shimon Gamliel go with that? That he says that if they misvalued it, then the sale is still valid. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna by Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheish is ad palga, up to a half. So in other words, if they took property that was supposed to be 100 and sold it for 200 or vice versa, then the sale still stands. But if they sold property that was supposed to be 100 and they sold it for 201 or vice versa, then we would say that then we would say that what they did is invalid. Even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree already that that's invalid. Tanya Nami Hochivilun, similarly in a Braisa, Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel, based in Shemachu, Shava Masayim, Mana, or Shava Mana Masayim, if based in sold a property that was supposed to be 200 for 100 or 100 for 200, Michran Kayim, then the sale is valid, implying that even Rav Shimon Gamliel would say that if it's beyond those tolerances, then we would say that the sale is bought. The Gemara continues, Omer Ameima Meshmeid Rav Yosef, based in Shemachru B'loi Hachraza, if based in sells property of Yisoimim without making this Hachraza, without making this public announcement or this public auction, Nasu Kimisha Tovid Var Mishnah, then that's the equivalent of them making a mistake regarding something that it says explicitly in a Mishnah, V'choizrin, and like we said on Omer Aleph, then that would be undone. We would say that the sale is invalid and it has to be undone and redone properly. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean nasu? What do you mean it says if they made a mistake? Vaday to, it's clear that what they made a mistake is something that it says explicitly in a Mishnah. The Tanan, Shuma Yisoimim Shloshim Yoim, a Mishnah in Erchin tells us, when Beis Din is evaluating karka of Yisoimim to sell it, then they have to make an announcement, or even we're going to talk about further down on the Omud, in theory, maybe even Metaltlin, except we're going to say for practical reasons, we don't do it by Metaltlin. But in any case, the point is that by karka, at any rate, when we're selling karka of Yisoimim, we announce it for 30 days. The Shuma Hekdesh Shishim Yoim, when it comes to something when it comes to land of Hekdesh, which a Gizbar is selling because he wants to raise money for Hekdesh, because Hekdesh doesn't need the land itself, they want the money. So then Shishim Yoim, then you announce it, you continue announcing it for 60 days, Umachrizin Baboyko Va'erev, and you make announcements every morning and every evening about it. The Gemara explains over there, the reason why you want to have to make the announcements in the morning and the evening is because that's when workers are going out to work and that's when they're coming home. So Rashi and Tosfos discuss over there various angles on it. The point is that when people have, for example, when people have their workers going out to their fields, they tell them, by the way, you're passing by that field that Beis Din is making an announcement about, check it out and see whether it looks worthwhile. And then in the evening, when the workers come home, then the balabas will ask them news, so what'd you find? Or Tosfos says there, maybe the other way around. The point is, whatever, that the point is that that's why you want to announce in the morning and the evening. So we see that the Mishnah clearly says that you need a achrazah. So what are you telling me that if Beis Din sells without a achrazah, it says if they were Toya B'dvar Mishnah? This is actual Toya B'dvar Mishnah. The answer is fine, but Imei Ahi, if you only had that Mishnah, have Amina Hanimim Shliach, you would think maybe that applies when a Shliach is selling the karka. Abba based in Loi, maybe not when based in themselves sells it. Kamash Malan, therefore, Amemar is telling us in the name of Rabbi Yosef, nevertheless, that's also considered Tarbid by Mishnah. The Mishnah itself might only be referring to a shliach, but the din is valid. The din, in fact, does apply to Beis Din as well. And we do consider, if Beis Din doesn't know of that, that's considered toyah b'dvar Mishnah. But Eis Beit Rav Ashi la'amemer, but now Rav Ashi asks amemer, how could you say that? We learned in our Mishnah, Shuma Dayanin, Shapichsu Shtus, Oyosiru Shtus Michran Botel. We said that if the Dayanim undervalued or overvalued by 1/6, then according to the Tanakhama in our Mishnah, the sale is bottle, ha shava b'shava michran kayim. Well, the implication seems to be if they sold it at the actual proper value, then the sale is valid. My lav d'le'achos. Presumably our Mishnah is talking about, even if they didn't make the announcement, as long as they sold it at the fair market value, then it's valid. So we see they don't have to make the announcement. And the Gemara says, loy b'de'achos. No, not necessarily. You could say we're talking about where they did make the announcement, and they ended up selling it for the fair market value. So the Gemara says, "Homid is safer, but the achor is habi reisha, but the loy achor is." On the other hand, how could that be? The safer of the Mishnah is talking about where they did make the announcement. Then the reisha has to be where they didn't. The katani safer im also we get us bikoros. We said in the Mishnah that if they put out a document of bikoros of evaluation, meaning exactly that, that they made a hachroza and people are going and checking out the field. So then, then even if they sold it for half the value or twice the value, michran kayim, then the sale is still valid because we're saying once people looked it over, then they decided that's what they're willing to pay for it. So therefore, it can't be considered a mistake by Beis Din.
The ratio and the can be the same.
And the ratio and the sefer, yeah. I mean, if in the ratio the Chachamim are saying Michron Botel, and in the sefer they're saying Michron Kayim, obviously one has to be talking about where they made the announcements and the other one not. So therefore, the ratio is talking about where they didn't make the announcements. And the implication is only if they made, so the Mishnah is saying if they made a mistake of 1/6 or more, then it's Botel, implying if they sold it for the proper value, then it's Kayim, even though there was no Achraza. So what are you telling me, Amemar, that it would be Botel just because they didn't do the Achraza? So the Gemara says, Ela la olam b'deloy achruz. No, so they actually, we can say, in fact, the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about they did not make the achruzah, but like Kasha, but there's no contradiction. Can be dvarim sh'machruizin aleihem. Can be dvarim sh'ein machruizin aleihem. It depends. There are certain things where they do make announcements for and other things where they don't make announcements for. The Elohim dvarim sh'ein machruizin aleihem. So what kind of things do they not, what kind of things do they not make an announcement about that they're going to be selling them? Ha'avodim v'ametaltlin v'ashtaris. When it comes to selling avodim or metaltlin or documents where you're selling, they have a shtar choiv that somebody owes their father or them money and you're selling that shtar choiv to somebody else so they can collect the debt. Those kinds of things we don't announce in advance. Avodim time am I, and the reason why by avodim, why do we not announce it? Shem yishmu v'yivachu, because they may hear that they're going to be sold, and then they're going to run away. They don't want they're happy enough where they are right now. They don't want to start having to possibly with a new owner that might not treat them as well. So therefore, they might run away. Metalplin or shtaris shemi yigandu. And when it comes to metalplin and shtaris, the problem is somebody might steal them because after all, people are gathering around to look them over. So then somebody might manage to grab.
Even though Beis Din
is doing it, but still, it's not like they have, you know, it's not like they have it inside a locked safe or something. Necessarily, they have to have it available for public viewing. So somebody might manage to grab it. So our Mishnah is talking about. So in the ratio of our Mishnah, then we're talking about they didn't make an announcement, which fine, they're not supposed to make an announcement in these cases.
But people come to look at it anyhow.
Right, but that's the point. In other words, that's the point. Instead of having the whole public come and look at it, instead, Beis Din is going to go privately and try to find a buyer for it. By the way, Tosfos points out, given that we're talking about Beis Din selling it to raise money for the Almana, since when are we taking Metaltlin from Yisomim to raise money for the Almana anyway? So Tosfos gives a couple of answers, one of them being that we could have, again, where these Metaltlin were reserved ahead of time for payment to the Ksuba. Another one is if she had been toifus them, if she had grabbed these things while her husband was still alive. Otherwise, Beis Din has no business with Metaltlin of Yisomim anyway. Right. Anyway, the point is, So the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about they didn't make an announcement. Fine, they weren't supposed to make an announcement. Now, if they made a mistake by 1/6 or more, then the Chachamim are saying that the sale is bottled. As opposed to the Sefer is talking about where they did make an announcement at a time when they're supposed to, because they're selling karka, and then we're saying since they made the announcements, then therefore no matter how much it sold for, then it doesn't matter because people were willing to pay, then because the public all saw it and decided that they're willing to pay this price.
I will buy not by feel, doesn't matter, right?
So that's the thing. If we say Eino Nola Karkois, then we would say it wouldn't matter anyway, but we're still, there may not be a Nola Karkois, but still, on the other hand, we don't want, there may not be the technical dinim of Einar, which is why we didn't say that shtus kono machzor Einar. Nor by regular Einar, we would say if the mistake was 1/6, the kinyan is valid. You just have to reimburse the amount. Here, we wouldn't say that. But on the other hand, as we discussed in the Mishnah, different Rishonim say, we want to look out not only for the interests of the Yisomim, we also want to look out for the interests of the buyers, for one thing, in order to give them an incentive in the future to want to buy from Beis Din, knowing that they have recourse. So yeah. The boyseima, or the Gemara says another way you could answer, can b'shosh machrizin, can b'shosh ein machrizin. You could distinguish between a time when you're supposed to make the announcements and a time when you're not. The Amri Nahadoi, namely the Chacham of Nahadoi said, we learned this earlier in the Masechta. The karga, when it comes to raising money for taxes, in particular, the Rashi had said over there, karga or kraga, whatever, means the head tax, the tax that a person has to pay just for the fact that they live in the country, as opposed to income taxes and whatever. So those kinds of things. Lemizoni, and for mizonis, for the almana or for the daughters or whatever, velikvura, or for burial, to bury the mess himself or to bury any member of the family, whatever, mezabninin b'lo achrazda, such things we sell of property of Yisayimim without making a achraza first, because there's no time for it. There's no time. We need to right away pay the tax, or we need to right away get the person buried or get mezonis or whatever, and we don't have the time. We learned there, actually, Tosfos had discussed, doesn't even mean, for example, obviously we're not going to leave the body unburied until we make an announcement, means even, let's say, they borrowed money for the purpose. We're not going to do a hachraza in order to repay them, because we don't want people to say, you know what, it's going to take a long time till I got my money back, I can't be bothered. So on Mishnah, so the ratio of on Mishnah can be talking about where no hachroza is appropriate because we're selling for any of these purposes. So nevertheless, if Beis Din made a mistake of 1/6, then michron bottle. And then the sefer, we'll be talking about the normal time when we do make a hachroza.
Even though
still Beis Din has a responsibility not to make a mistake. Again, Shimon Gamliel would say makoyach Beis Din yofa, and that's different. But according to the Chachamim, we would say that still Beis Din, they may be in a hurry, but they still have to value it appropriately.
Even if they charge a customer more for the Yisomim.
That's what we're saying. So even though they benefited the Yisomim, we talked about in the Mishnah, different Rishonim explain that we don't want to scare people away. And after all, Beis Din is supposed to act on behalf of the other people as well. There's no favoritism in a Din Torah and so forth. Yeah. The boyseima, or yet another possibility, can be mokim shemachrizin, can be mokim shein machrizin. The Mishnah may be distinguishing between places where they make a hachraza or not. There are different places. The Amr of Nachman, for example, we have what Rab Nachman says, they never made such a public announcement of a sale in Nahauda. Now, why not? The Chachamim thought, when Rav Nachman said that, it must be the people in Nahauda are very good at knowing the value of land. Therefore, there's no need for a hachraza. People are going to pay whatever the market value is for it. There's no bidding necessary.
Which was the city that there was a lot of ganavim there?
That was for that Pumbedissa was the city that had a lot of ganavim. This is Nahauda, yeah. But Omle Rav Yosef Bamanyumi, said to the Chachamim, L'didimi Farshalimi, the idea of Nachman, Rav Nachman personally explained to me, that's not the reason. The reason is rather, Menashim Dekori Lahu Bnei Achli Nichsi Da'achrazda. People look down on, people consider it, Rashi says, Gnai V'cherpa, when people buy Nechosim that Beis Din is selling. You have to consider, says Rashi, when Beis Din is selling, it means, in other words, that somebody is pressuring the Yisomim to sell. So for example, you have somebody, the Yisomim owes somebody money and he's pressuring them, and therefore Beis Din finds it necessary to sell their property in order to raise money for him. Or even not Yisomim, even a regular loiver or whatever. So anytime Beis Din is involved in a sale, it means that somebody is putting pressure where they shouldn't. and people therefore make fun of, in the Haudah, people make fun of such people and they look down on them. How could you do that? How could you bring to the situation where Beis Din is being required to take property from Yesomim and sell it? And they call them, and they call them Bnei Ochli Nichsidach Razda, people who eat Nechosim that were sold at auction. So in Nahuda, in other words, if they were to make a public announcement, a public auction like that, everybody would look down at the one who caused that to happen in the first place. And therefore, to begin with, in Nahuda, they don't do that. Different Rishonim talk about different other possibilities. Maybe they look down not so much on the one who caused it to happen, but on the one who bought the property. Because like, what are you taking advantage of the Yesomim? You're buying something at an emergency sale that they have to make. Better if you want to benefit the Yesomim, buy it from them at a fair market value privately rather than having to make this whole achraza. And the Meiri actually
said, think so, because
the point is, instead of Beis Din having to be involved, go privately to the Yesomim and arrange it with them or something. So therefore, people would look down on them in the Haudah for that. And the Meiri actually says that Bnei literally means the sons of. So it means that people would not only make fun of the parents who did such a thing, they'd even transfer it to their children. So whatever the case, the point is there was great social pressure and now duh against such things. So therefore they didn't bother with hachraza over there. So again, the ratio of our mission would be talking about a place like now duh where they don't do a hachraza, and the safer would be talking about where they do. Okay. Since we're talking about property of Yesomim, the Gemara mentions, by the way, Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Metaltman show Yesomim Shomin Oyster and a Mochman Oyster Altar. Now, we said by Metaltman, you don't make a public announcement because we're afraid people will steal it. So, therefore, so in fact, what Beis Din does is they evaluate, they assess the value of the Metaltman or Mochman Oyster Altar, and they sell it right away as close as possible to when the father died because you don't want them to spoil, Rashi says. On the other hand, Rav Chista, Omen Abimi Mochman Oyster Mashvaki. Rav Chista, in the name of Avimi, says that no, they sell them at the next market, at the next yurid, at the next public market, when they'll get a better price for it.
Doesn't depend on
what it is. So the Gemara says, pligi. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Chista are not actually arguing. Hodem mikrav shuka, hodem merachik shuka. It depends whether the shuk is close or whether it's far. Now Rashi explains Yoyma de Shukka, the day of the Shuk, which means that Rashi understands it to be time-wise, is the Yoyma Shuk, like this you have in various places. They have market days, days when there were going to be fairs and things like that. So is that time coming up soon? Then do what Rav Chista said and wait for then. It's not going to spoil in those extra couple of days, as opposed to if the time is a long time from now, a few weeks or a few months from now, then go ahead and sell it right away so it doesn't spoil. Other Rishonim learn that Mikrav Shuka and Merachat Shuka may be in location. Is the Shuk close by? Then there's not much of a hazard in bringing it to the Shuk. You're not likely to suffer a loss on the way, as opposed to if it's a long distance, then you take, you're not just Tircha, but more you take your, there's a danger involved on the way. It might be on the way, it might be damaged, it might be robbed, it might be whatever, so therefore don't do that. So the Gemara gives some examples. Rav Kahana have a biyode shichra de Rav Sharshi b'achul koi yasa. Rav Kahana had under his possession, he was an apotropos of beer that belonged to Rav Sharshi b'achul koi, who was a yosim. The pashtus, a yosim usually for this purpose means that he's young. So in that case, then why is he already Rav Sharshi b'achul koi? The pashtus, he would say later on when he grew up, he became Rav Sharshi. At this point, he's still a cotton. Whatever the case. Shahyed Adrigla, Rav Kahana held on to that beer until the Yomtiv, and then he was gonna sell it then. Omar, so he says, Afogav de Nofel be Itzita, even though there is the possibility that during the time between now and the Yomtiv, it may start going a little bit sour, it may get a little bit of a sour taste. Nevertheless, Maisi Zuzi Harifa, there is an advantage in it. Because the time when everybody needs it, everybody is willing to pay cash on hand, as opposed to other times of the year, you might have to sell it on credit. So therefore, he's saying to benefit the Yosim, to benefit Ramashaoshia, that I'm selling this beer on his behalf, it's better to get cash on the barrel head rather than having to sell on credit. And therefore, it's worthwhile to save it until Yom Tov, even though it means that it's starting to get a little bit of an off taste. People will still buy it. Similarly, the Gemara says, Ravina have a biyode chamra de Ravina zuti yasma bar achse have. Ravina had under his control, again, he was an apotropos of wine for Ravina Zuti, who was a Yosem, Bar Achse, who was his nephew, his sister's son. It's interesting, actually, we have two Ravinas in Shas. You have this Ravina, the Chaver of Ravashi, and then you have the second Ravina, who was a Talmud of Ravashi. He's actually the last of the Amoraim. When he passed away, then the time and the period of the Amoraim is considered to be over. So it seems that over here, we might have the two Ravinas here in the same story. The first one is the Chaver of Ravashi, and the second one is his nephew, who later on grew up to be the second Ravina, the last of the Amoraim. Anyway, so he had wine. So the uncle was taking care of wine that belonged to his nephew, who was a Yosef. Now, Ravina, the elder Ravina, the uncle, also had wine of his own. He was going to take his wine to a place called Sichra to sell it over there. So he comes to Rav Ashi to ask, can I take my nephew's wine there also, or do I have to sell it locally in order to avoid the possibility of it getting damaged or something? Amalei zil, so Rav Ashi tells him, go ahead, loy odif mididach, his is not any stronger than yours. In other words, the same way as you can take a risk with yours and you can bring it. Rashi explains that the usual way of transporting wine from point A to point B in those days in Bavel would be to bring it on a riverboat. Now, there's always the problem because Bavel was full of rivers and canals. So the normal way of transporting heavy goods like wine would be on boats. Now, when you take it on a boat, there's always the possibility the boat might sink. Nevertheless, you're taking that risk with your own. So Gesundheit, you can take that risk with your nephews as well. The Ran does add, that's only when you have, there's an advantage in it. Like here, he's taking it to Sichra, where he'll get a good price for it. Otherwise, yes, you do have to be more careful with the property of Yisomim, even than your own. You can't just take it someplace else and take risks with it, even if you would take risks with your own, where it's not, where you're not benefiting the Yisomim by that. But here, where he is, then Rav Ashi tells him, it's fine. Okay, everyone.